Thank you for tuning in to the Afternoon Pint Podcast. Our show will start right after these messages from our sponsors.
Hey, Matt. We're thinking of selling our home and finding a bigger place.
Oh, really? I thought you guys loved where you lived.
Oh, we do. Our family is just growing. With pets. A dog. A cat. Two guinea pigs. A hamster.
And you're planning on getting more?
Maybe a goat or a crocodile.
Well, I have the person for you. Kimina Jad is an experienced real estate agent who prides herself in finding the perfect home for her clients.
We're just browsing now. I'm not sure if we really need a realtor yet.
Yeah, no worries. Kimina can help you with the comparative market analysis to help you determine the value of your home if you're planning on selling, or help you determine the going rate for the neighborhood you're moving into. She can also work at your pace.
Awesome. All right, I'll give her a shot. What's her phone number?
On Facebook, Kimina Jad, Exit Realty Metro. Her phone number is 902-880-8429, and her email is kimia@exitmetro.ca.
902-880-8429. Awesome. Thanks.
This podcast was brought to you by Dan Lomas. That's L-O-M-A-S of lomasfinancial.ca.
Are you a small business owner who wants to keep more of your hard-earned profits and pay less taxes to the CRA? Do you want a plan for a comfortable and secure retirement? If your answer is yes, then you need to talk to Dan Lomas at Lomas Financial.
Dan Lomas is a financial advisor who has been helping successful entrepreneurs and business owners for over 2.5 decades. He utilizes customized solutions that can help you keep your earnings, dramatically reducing passive income tax.
Dan Lomas and his team will help you transition corporate wealth into personal wealth by utilizing customized executive pension plans. Dan will show you how to convert business wealth into personal wealth in a professional manner.
Don't let the CRA take more money than they deserve. Don't let your retirement dreams fade away. Contact Dan Lomas today and let him guide you on your path to financial success.
Visit Dan Lomas at lomasfinancial.ca or call him direct at 902-209-0855. That's 902-209-0855.
This is Matt Conrad.
And this is Mike Tobin.
Welcome to the Afternoon Pint.
This week we speak with Sean Rosvold. Sean has had an interesting career in radio, from a small town Canadian AM radio station all the way to Sirius Satellite XM out of New York. We talk about his career and share some radio clips to get an idea of what a career spent on the airwaves is like. Enjoy.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Sean Rosvold.
Yes, I am.
Okay, and did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Good job.
Thank you. Welcome to the Afternoon Pint.
Thank you.
Yeah, so the reason I think we should talk of our relationship first a little bit.
Yeah, full disclosure.
Sure.
Yeah. I think everybody should know that you are in a relationship with my daughter.
Yes.
And we won't go any further into that.
Sure.
Okay.
I respect her. Okay. She's a great lady.
Yeah.
She helps out on the show a bit, actually, with the social media stuff, because I'm not so great at it.
Yes, I know.
Thanks. All right. So I guess we have to start. What kind of beer are you drinking there today, Sean?
I am drinking a beer I have never had before, and I'm quite impressed because I like, well, I don't really drink. So I drink mostly non-alcoholic beer, but occasionally I'll have a light beer. And this is really nice. It's Nine Locks Dirty Blonde Light. It is 4% alcohol, 10 IBU. Is that impressive?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
I would need my partner to describe that here, Matt. He's not here today, but we'll get him to fill us in on the next episode.
Okay.
I just like beer.
Yeah, me too.
I'm drinking the Boxing Rock Hunky Dory Pale Ale. Right?
Mm-hmm.
So yours is actually in Waverly, Nova Scotia, close to where my parents live,
mm-hmm.
and mine's down in Shelburne.
Oh, right? Okay.
So
so it's all Nova Scotia beers.
All Nova Scotia brews today, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe we'll get outside of that at some point.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm somewhat fascinated by your career. As a younger guy, when I was out of high school, I wanted to do a career in radio. And I went to the trade school to audition to be in their radio and television arts program. And I read off the teleprompter for the first time, and everybody laughed a lot. And I I love making people laugh, but this wasn't one of those moments. And felt
so it wasn't intentional.
No, it wasn't intentional.
Okay.
Yeah. So what got your start in radio? Walk me back. Like, you were how old? I think your father had a career in radio, correct?
Yeah. So my dad was in the radio business. And like most kids, you're not interested in what your dad does for a living. But everybody, all my friends thought it was fascinating and wonderful. And I just didn't care. So when I was 16, my dad was trying to get me interested in doing something other than being a long-haired hippie freak. And so he started taking me into the radio station in Sydney, Nova Scotia, Cheer Radio, which he helped found. And I would go in and I would sort records and, you know, do the Joe jobs. And he would try to coach me through doing commercials and being a disc jockey and stuff. But I wasn't really interested. So I didn't really pursue it at 16.
Oh, okay. Now, I have a little clip of you. I think, is that at age 16 when you had your first start in radio?
Well, there's I don't know which clip you're going to run, but there is a clip of me and my dad together at Cheer Radio, him trying to coach me through reading a commercial.
That's the one, yes. Yeah, that's the one. Actually, we're going to play that really quick right now just so you can hear it. I think it's pretty cool. What year was that,
John? That would have been probably 1967.
Awesome. Yeah, we'll play that right now and be right back.
This is Sean Roswald reporting Cheer News to 205. Brought to you by Keith's, the master brewers of light sparkling India Ale. Keith's India Pale Ale, brewed in Nova Scotia. You know, it's only 4 years ago now that Jim Pike, Tony Butella, and Bob Engman came out with their first LP. Do you remember it? The three Lettermen in their college jackets of white and purple with the letter L prominent on their frat jackets. They've come a long road with lots of success since then. And here is one of their sweet sound of success, some of their sweet sound of success right now. Georgie Girl.
Swinging down the street, so fancy and free.
Now, let's listen to the Carlton Show Band with the Black Velvet Band. This is Sean Roswald for Cheer Radio. Thank you.
All right, now let's take it back to, I know that's hard to read, those introductions. Why don't you just ad-lib an introduction to the Letterman, if you like, and also to the Carlton Show Band, okay?
I don't think I can.
What?
I don't think I can.
All right, well, let's take it back to those, to the records, okay? Everything was fine up till there.
Well, that was embarrassing.
Oh, it sounds really good, though, really. I mean, yeah, you were just a young fella.
Well, yeah, but I mean, the Cape Breton accent is like, whoa. Like, the first time Lori, my wife, heard that, she said, that is not you. Like,
really?
There's no way that's you. She couldn't believe it was me and that I had such an accent.
Incredible.
Yeah.
So, you didn't care about radio. You're 16. Your dad kind of tried on you. What other kind of jobs were you doing at the time?
I worked for a landscaping company, out in the fields cutting sod, which was, not a lot of fun.
No, hard work, fun times?
Not fun times at all, because I'm kind of allergic to black fly bites. And so when you're out there in the field cutting sod, you uncover these black fly nests.
Okay.
Now, one time I got a bite on the tip of my ear and it was so swollen, it hung over like a dog's ear. It was like... So I didn't last long at that. Also worked for a guy changing storm windows. Remember those old wooden storm windows that old houses had?
Okay.
They weighed like 50 pounds, and I was the kid who had to climb up 20-foot ladder and carry these things up. It was
wow.
It was nasty.
And worked in no safety harnesses back then, I wouldn't imagine.
No, nothing like that. I'm just trying to think what else. I worked one day in a car wash.
Okay, what happened there?
They put me on the steam hose, which is the first thing that you do when you pull your car and when they drive your car in. This was a like full personnel. This wasn't an automatic one. So I was on the steam hose, and I showed up for work, and I didn't realize I needed rubber boots because I didn't know. So they gave me a pair of rubber boots that had holes in the soles, so my feet were soaked. And I'm using this steam hose, which is like 300 degrees, and like the insulation was so thin, I was burning my hands, and I was trying to figure out how to keep my hands from burning and keeping the job. And at the end of the day, I just said, I'm not coming back, and they wouldn't pay me. So,
that's great.
Yeah, so that's a few of them.
Cool. Like at the time, Dale, I know you're a music aficionado. Did I say that right? Aficionado?
Yeah.
Okay. But that started at a young age?
Yeah. I mean, you know, growing up in the 60s, I mean, you know, the only channel we had was CBC, and it was in Lloydminster, Alberta /Saskatchewan.
Okay.
And, you know, I was glued to the Ed Sullivan Show and, you know, shows like that, the music shows, Top of the Pops, and, you know, I forget the names of them, but there were a few of them. But, yeah, so, I mean, I was totally in love with the music.
Cool. What were you listening to, if you could remember back when?
Well, I mean, see, my dad worked in radio, so... Yeah. He was always bringing home records because the radio stations he worked for didn't play the music that I liked, the kids, what he called kids music. And so I've always had all these 45s and LPs that the station was just going to throw out.
Cool.
So that was kind of cool because I didn't have to buy anything. But some of the stuff I really liked, for some reason, the radio station didn't get. So the first 45 record that I bought was the Beatles' Please Please Me, and that was in 1963, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Beatles.
Yep.
So what else after the Beatles have you age? I'm just kind of curious.
Well, yeah. I loved the Animals. I loved the Stones. Beatles, when Hendrix came out, Led Zeppelin. I mean, I just loved all that stuff.
Beatles were your number one pick?
Yeah. Always have been, you know, my very favorite band. My favorite Beatles album is the White Album. The Stones, Led Zeppelin, you know, all that early, what's now classic rock,
right,
is the stuff I grew up with. So
amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. After all these jobs, all these kind of tribulations, when did you fall back into the radio station?
So I moved back to Calgary in 1969 from Sydney because my parents moved, and I stayed behind and slept at a friend's house on the couch through most of the summer of 1969.
Okay.
And then I decided, well, you know, winter's coming and, you know, I've probably worn out my welcome, so I should head back. So anyway, went back to Calgary, got a job, a couple of construction jobs. One was working on a paving crew.
Okay.
I was a flag man. And they graduated me to, you know, one of those wheelies, you know, with the 10 tire things where they flatten the road, the dirt and stuff.
Oh.
So they let me drive one of those.
That'd be fun to drive.
It was until I ran over a manhole cover and collapsed the whole thing, and they had to dig up the road and replace the whole thing. So after that, I was back to flags.
Oh.
And then I got a job working in construction. And it was winter, it was like 40 below in Calgary, and I'm the kid who got to go up on the third story roof with no safety rope, sweeping the ice and snow off the roof and trying not to fall off. And
I've done a similar job. It's not fun.
No. And my dad was working in Lethbridge, And they were changing the format of their FM station. Back then it was all like crappy elevator music, but they decided they were going to go rock and roll.
Oh.
And the program director asked my dad if I'd be interested in trying out. And I said, of course. I mean, who wouldn't want to work at a rock and roll radio station playing great music?
You were in your 20s?
No, I was 17.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
And, playing the music I liked and listened to all the time and in a nice warm studio, and you could talk to girls on the phone all night.
Sure.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah,
awesome.
So that was it. Czech FM, 1970.
That was in 1970. Czech FM?
Yeah.
Awesome. And that was in Lethbridge, Alberta?
Yeah.
Cool. Mm-hmm. Okay. And where'd you go after that?
Oh, God. I've worked in so many places. So after that, I got fired from my first job.
Oh.
Because one of the women I met on the phone, I was going out with, and she called me one night. So my shift was 8 at night until 3 in the morning, 7-hour shift.
Wow.
And yeah, and she called me one night, like 2 a.m., and she was having some sort of a problem. And she was hysterical. I said, look, just come over to the station and, you know, I'm off the air in an hour and, you know, then we'll hang out and figure this out. So anyway, she came over to the station. She's sitting in the lobby, not even in the studio. And of course, my boss walks in at 2 a.m. I mean, it was almost like a setup.
Mm-hmm.
So I got fired for having somebody in the station when I wasn't supposed to. So anyway, after that, I got a job in Lloydminster, Alberta, Saskatchewan, where I grew up as a kid and my dad worked. And then from there, I went to Quesnel, B.C., and then back to St. John, New Brunswick. And then I worked in a recording studio in Dartmouth, and then back to Calgary. I worked in Calgary, then Kamloops, and then Terrace, Prince George, back to Nova Scotia, and worked in Kentville and the Valley.
Okay, now Kentville, that became a bit of a home for you for a while. Is that right?
Yeah.
Is that kind of where you landed after all these jobs?
I mean, it was one of the longer stretches of employment.
So okay.
I was there from 86 until 92.
Okay.
And then in 92, the marriage split up and I left, went back to BC, got a job in Penticton.
Okay.
Friend of mine called me and said she had gotten a job working in San Francisco. Did I want to come? And of course, I jumped at it.
Wow.
And so I got, I was working in San Francisco. And then after about 3.5-4 years.
Like the San Francisco job, when you cross borders, what was the transition like for the radio experience, if any? Was it very different down there, the way they did things, or the job much different?
Not really. I mean, the basics are the basics, no matter what size of the market.
Sure.
But I mean, you know, here I was working in Penticton, BC.
Right.
And I go from
San Francisco,
to the number 4 market in the world.
Yeah.
I mean, it was an incredible offer and an incredible opportunity that I just couldn't turn down. So I took it.
I think we do have a clip of San Francisco years as well. I'm not sure. I'll have to check.
Yeah.
Let me just look, and I'm going to try to play something right now for us.
Listening to Gary and O'Toole on KBIG is fun. Being interviewed by her. Let's just say you're lucky to make it out alive. Gary and O'Toole in the morning. Listen at your own risk. I do. KBIG 98.1.
KBIG 98.1, the classic hit station, 6 o'clock, Darian O'Toole and Sean Kelly. Barry Nolan's going to be on today.
Yeah, he's got all kinds of stuff to talk about.
From Hard Copy?
Mm-hmm.
Sean. In other words, Sean has no idea.
Well, he's always got a whole bunch of stuff
Sean
to talk
filling.
About. He's always has a lot of
stuff.
It'll
be great.
Do you know what he's going to talk about?
Yeah, Olympic Park bombing suspect, OJ,
uh-huh.
And JonBenet.
Okay, good. Thank God it's written down in front of you.
I want someone to talk about Marv Albert.
Now, they're saying...
There's something fishy in that whole thing. I don't know.
Well, they're charging him with sodomy. Apparently, in that state. I forget where it was, Washington, West Virginia, or New York. I can't remember.
West Virginia be the last place you'd expect that to be illegal.
Well, their definition of sodomy is not what we think it is. It's not. It's
it involves a small farm animal.
No, it's not a Jack Daniels receptacle. It in that state, it also includes oral sex, which apparently is what this is all about.
Oh, really?
So the sodomy thing is a little misleading.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that's interesting.
Yeah. So.
Because when I heard it, I thought, well, at least you didn't have to look at him. That's one blessing. Showed a little mercy, but now I don't feel sorry for him at all.
Not at all.
601 on KBIG 98.1.
Wow. Yeah, big change in the voice from when you were 16 there, eh?
Yeah, so that was actually a conscious effort.
Okay.
Because when I left Sydney, I had the Cape Breton accent. And, you know, getting started in Alberta, where the accents are totally different, I had to work on that. And my boss actually worked with me on my diction and my pronunciations and my accent to try to lose the accent.
Like phonics for radio.
Yeah, basically, yeah.
Well, but I need to take that.
Yeah, it might help. I don't know. But, you know, doing things like trying to read clearly with marbles in my mouth and exercises like that.
Okay, I mean, wow.
Yeah, and proper
breathing. Actual marbles in your mouth?
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
How many?
Like four or five.
Oh, my gosh.
And you know, trying to read as clearly as possible. So that teaches you diction, and he taught me breathing, how to breathe from your diaphragm.
Okay.
And, you know, stuff like that. So anyway, I managed to lose my Cape Breton accent out west, but, you know, I still had the Canadian accent. And so when I go to San Francisco, I've got the Canadian accent, and I'm saying the Canadian pronunciation of words. And I had no idea how to properly pronounce things like San Jose, California.
Mm-hmm.
I was saying it the Canadian way, San Jose, and they would make fun of me, you know, stuff like that, you know. And so I had to consciously work to lose that accent.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was very interesting. But the job itself was, you know, really no different. Other than you're making a lot more money, you got a lot better equipment, you got a lot better support, but you have huge pressure, and you've got people yelling and screaming at you all the time because this.
Wait, who's yelling and screaming?
Your boss, you know, my program director and the general manager, stuff that we did on the air. We were constantly crossing the line a lot of times.
Okay, okay.
Yeah. Saying stuff, doing stuff.
So they're trying to keep things.
Well, they're trying not to get sued and you know, and they're trying to keep their jobs. Mm-hmm. Because if a program director or a general manager is seen as not being able to control their staff, they're going to lose their job too. Mm-hmm. So not only is it our jobs on the line, it's theirs as well.
Mm.
So they're going to cover their asses and, you know, do whatever they can to keep their job because they're.
Now, do you guys know this and mess with them anyways?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All the time.
Okay.
Yeah. 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 So it was different, but kind of the same and a little more intense.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So San Francisco, you were there till when?
Left there in 97.
97.
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
And I know you ended up in New York at some point. I did have a clip of that. Now, where along did you meet your wife, Lori?
Well, that was in San Francisco.
San Francisco, okay.
Yeah, so we had a contest on the air, and Lori entered it, and she was one of the winners. And we were supposed to the deal was we had a guy on the show we called Monkey Boy.
Monkey Boy.
Yeah, and he was like just kind of the turd that we made fun of all the time. And
poor guy.
We made him do nasty things. Like
what?
Well, one of the stunts we did was we picked a major street in San Francisco and we covered him with sod and mowed him with an actual lawnmower.
Oh my God. Like, you're lucky you didn't kill this poor guy.
Yeah, I know. But we didn't.
Is he in good health today? Yeah, have you kept up with Monkey Boy?
Yeah, Monkey Boy's still alive.
Where is he living?
He's still in California.
Is he still doing Monkey Boy things?
He's not doing the Monkey Boy thing. He actually turned into a pretty good disc jockey. But, you know, he was a beginner there and kind of an intern guy, and we just used him for fun.
Okay.
So,
Lori, sorry.
because he was always talking about how he could never get a girlfriend. So we decided we were going to do a contest and somebody could date Monkey Boy.
Wow.
And the prize was a dinner at a really fancy restaurant. And then we were going to take Monkey Boy and his new date to a James Taylor concert. At the Greek Theater in Berkeley. And we had really great seats and everything. So we did the contest. We had 10 semifinalists. We brought them all into the radio station to talk about them. And then we were supposed to pick one. And the host of the show, Darian O'Toole, decided, well, we can't decide. We're going to take all 10 of them. And of course, you know, this is, instead of like three or four people at a very expensive, fancy restaurant, it was now like 14, and we had to rent limos and we had to get tickets. And
oh my gosh.
So needless to say, that caused a bit of a problem, but mm-hmm. we didn't get fired for it. So that's it. And Lori was one of the entrants, and that's how we met.
So you met her at the show, like at the James Taylor concert? Yeah,
all the contestants came into the morning show when we were supposed to pick one. And she was one of the 10. So,
oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah. So that's how we met.
And you guys stuck together and did she moved with you to New York?
Yeah. Yeah. So they decided to blow up the radio station, flip the format to Spanish for whatever reason.
Mm-hmm.
And they said to us, you know, you guys can, where do you want to go? Because they wanted to keep the show, but they were going to change the entire, we didn't speak Spanish. Mm. We spoke American and Canadian. And they said, where do you want to go? You can go to New York, LA, Chicago.
They let you just throw a dart.
Yeah. Whoa. They said, we'll put you on a radio one of our stations in wherever you want to go. And we talked about it and we said, well, you know, New York would be the obvious because it's the number one market in the world.
And did you live in New York previous to that for any time?
No.
Had you seen New York previous to that?
I'd never been to New York.
Whoa, cool.
So anyway, so we go to New York and, you know, Lori and I are coming in from the airport and in a taxi and the roads are horrible and we're bumping and jumping all over the place. And I hated the place.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
It's a lot of city.
It's dirty. It's smelly. It's hot in the summer. It's nasty in the winter. The snow is black and gray. And
it's amazing just, to visit, but yeah, I always felt like I wouldn't want to live there personally.
It takes a long time to get used to it, but I learned to love it. And I still love the place.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, that's how we got to New York.
Cool. And your station there, I think we got a clip of that, so we're just going to play that now for a second. This is Sean in New York.
Recorded live at the White House, Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers, Christmas all over again on Q104.3, New York's only classic rock station. 4:59 with Sean Kelly. The Q104 forecast, not bad today as compared to yesterday. A mix of sun and clouds, a high of 34 today. Tomorrow, though, a different story. Very windy, extreme wind chills Christmas Day. Sun and clouds, a high of 22. Mostly sunny and 31 on Tuesday. It's 24 in Hoboken. The Giants rallied in the fourth quarter to grab the NFC's top seed with a 28-25 win over the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jets must beat the Baltimore Ravens in Baltimore at 1 o'clock today to get into the playoffs. In the NBA, Miami over the Nets, 86-80 on the ice. The Predators down the Rangers 3-2 in overtime. The Devils over the Lightning 5-1, and the Islanders lost to the Columbus Blue Jackets 7-5. The Ballad of John and Yoko, The Beatles on Q104.3.
Yeah, well, yeah, it's pretty cool hearing the evolution there on all the different radio stations over time. Now, what year was that again, do you think? It was kind of...
That would have been probably 90... Well, when did I get fired? I got fired from Q104 in 2001.
Okay, what did you do there?
What did I do to get fired, or what was? Nothing. They decided they were going to switch the morning show, and Yeah, it was nothing.
Just a change in.
Kind of thing. Nothing that we did, but they decided, you know, okay, you're all gone. We're putting in a new morning show.
Does that happen a lot in radio?
Yeah.
Yeah, they just kind of.
Yep. Yeah. So no fault of your own, you know, for whatever reason, either your ratings suck or. You know, whatever.
That's got to be a tough part about radio. It's just thinking that you never know when your day is up or your number's up.
The time. So that's what happened there.
And so after that, where'd you go?
So after I got fired, I went to the dark side and got a job doing public relations for a large utility company, a gas and electric company called Keyspan.
And, oh, that's a shift. I didn't know you did this. So PR for a gas company?
Yeah. So I was media relations. So, you know, we had to write like speeches and press releases.
Okay.
And I was the guy who had to go on camera when something blew up.
Oh.
Yeah. So, you know, I would get called at 2 a.m. when a house exploded or something and explain why it wasn't our fault. that kind of thing. So I lasted about 2 years and I got fired there. And then let's see what happened.
So, I noticed a pattern with this firing.
Yeah. So I got fired there because I was not a team player. I was working in a cubicle. I had to wear dress pants and a dress shirt. And, you know, it was horrible.
It just wasn't your mantra.
No, it was nasty. It was just,
yeah.
I just couldn't do it. So I was not unhappy to get fired, but at the same time I didn't have a job. So, so anyway, I went through a period of unemployment, and then I ended up working at Sirius XM. I got a job there producing a new talk show with Jay Thomas.
If you don't mind, Jay Thomas, I mean, he was a big name in his time, right?
Yeah. He was number one, he was a huge disc jockey in New York, LA, you know, but he also had a pretty big acting career. Like, you know, he was on Cheers. I'm trying to remember what else.
Just bringing him up here real quick. Okay. Yeah. Familiar face the moment I saw him. Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
So he's been in a ton of stuff over the years.
Yeah. As soon as you see him, you know you've seen him.
Okay. So he passed away in 2017, eh?
Yeah. He was in Ray Donovan, the TV series.
Which they remade.
Yeah.
Yeah.
NCIS New Orleans. A whole bunch of stuff. He would get like cameos or you know, small roles. He was never like a major character, but he was a character actor, and he was in American Dad.
Oh, cool.
Going down the Boston Legal, the Santa Claus 3 with what's his name, Tim.
Arguably the best of the three Santa Claus movies, huh?
he was in the Santa Claus 2, Law and Order Special Victims. It's a really long list. He really had quite a career.
Okay.
And so, cool. I got hired as the producer of the Jay Thomas Show on Sirius XM, which was a lot of fun. It was a great show.
Mm.
And it was, you know, every once in a while I'll listen to an episode, like I was listening to one this morning.
Oh, really?
Yeah. And it's amazing how good the show was. I didn't appreciate it at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I basically blew it working there. I wasn't a team player. I didn't play the politics well. I just wanted to come in, do my job, and go home.
Sure. And if you don't mind me asking, what kind of politics were there? Like in terms of just like people in the office not getting along? Or?
Yeah, I mean, you know, arguing with the boss, and, you know, the boss would say, well, you know, you got to control Jay. And you know, there was no controlling him.
Right.
Like, you know, Jay would do something and they wouldn't like it. And then
so still kind of that archaic.
Yeah,
Not to say archaic, but I guess that older kind of model of them controlling their.
Yeah, the typical corporate hierarchy. Okay. And, you know, they would yell at me, and I would just say to them, look, I can't control him.
Right.
You know, if you guys want to say this, say it to him.
Yeah.
You know, don't say it to me, because he's not going to listen to me, and he's not, I can tell you, he's not going to listen to you. He's just going to do whatever he does.
Yeah.
And what he did was great. It was terrific. But yeah. So
there and
was
when
a
you
lot.
Look back on that stuff, you're almost like, oh my gosh, this is perfect, right?
Yeah, because I was listening this morning to an episode from 2008. And Jay was, it was just after I arranged for Kevin Meaney to do, we would have a guest host.
Sorry, Kevin Meaney is?
A comic.
Okay.
And he was in like Uncle Buck, and he was a really great stand-up. And,
yeah, yeah.
I arranged for him to become like a semi-regular co-host on the show.
Right.
And so this show featured him and Jay, and the opening of the show, they're talking about death, which I thought was ironic because they're both dead now.
Mm. Clever irony.
Yeah. But it was a great, episode, you know, and Kevin Meaney and Jay worked really well together.
So were you speaking on that episode as well, or were you more on the production side at this point?
I was occasionally on the air. He would talk to me, call me in and say, Sean, and I was using the name Sean Kelly at the time.
Okay.
And he'd say, Sean Kelly, blah, 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 blah. And so I'd jump on and argue and, you know, stuff like
that's
that.
That's fun. Do we got a clip of that we could play maybe?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Awesome. We'll just put one on now just so you can kind of hear it. I think that's pretty cool. Thanks. Just check this out.
Jay Thomas, you can read about what Richard Simmons and I think about what's happening down south in the Mississippi Press article there. Also, the Jacksonville Journal had a nice article over the weekend about Dave Marsh and I and the Hall of Fame magazine. Of course, this is the Jay Thomas Show. David Letterman was so kind to me last night. And one of the things that you have to learn as an interviewer or whatever is to allow the person to, you know, speak and be themselves and you know, let them fall a little bit and then catch them. And, you know, if David Letterman wasn't, you know, such a fan of mine, there's no way that I could get on there and be as comfortable as I am.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jay Thomas is on the show.
He's hilarious. Jay Thomas.
Yeah. I like it when a guy has a name that could go either way. He could have just easily been Thomas J.
That's true.
And it would have had just as big a career as right. Thomas J.
Thomas J.
Thomas J. Could have been the guy.
You'd
but
be
no.
Tommy J.
Yeah,
Tommy J.
It's funny how the world works. Yeah. It's J. Thomas.
J. Thomas.
Exactly.
So Letterman, you know, likes to hear me tell these stories. But before I go on, it's as if he says stuff that, and you know, people say, isn't he kind of a sarcastic or mean guy? He says, oh, how funny Jay's the most. Who's the funniest? Is there anybody funnier? And then there was dead silence last night. And and everyone's waiting for a joke.
People are waiting for a joke, yeah.
And Paul, you know, doesn't know what to say. And so he goes, well, what is it, Paul? And Paul says, well, and I mean, Steve Martin would come to mind. Listen, I had 14 people already, you know, in a list that I could have named. And he said, no one, no. That's it. That's the answer. And the crowd was dead silent.
On the program tonight, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, Jay Thomas. And let me just say this about Jay Thomas. Is there a funnier man working today than Jay Thomas?
He is hilarious. He's a hilarious man.
Well, the answer is no.
No. Oh, that's what I meant. No.
People seem puzzled. Like, yeah. We're going to have to think about that.
Yeah.
So I turned to the producer and I said, Jesus, why is he saying that? I'm not even out there yet. He says, because he thinks you're going to, you know, this plastic surgery story is gold. So it worked out okay. And then we talked about Howard Stern and Sirius Satellite. Now, remember, Letterman allowed me to stay a second little section there. You know, we talked about the free Sirius, you know, satellite for the last couple of days. So I need to thank David Letterman for being so kind to me
and to Sirius Satellite.
What's going on at the satellite radio now? That's where Howard Stern is.
That's right.
Like $500 million.
That's
you're
right.
Working essentially with Howard.
No, yeah, we're big pals now.
But for a long time, you didn't. I had to talk to you about Howard, and you didn't want to talk.
Hated
about
his guts.
Hated Howard's guts.
Hated his guts. Couldn't stand it.
That may be the wrong man to hate.
That's honestly. Right. Wrong man to hate. We're by the way giving it away for a couple of days on the internet,
Sirius,
and they say a billion people are coming in.
Yeah.
But Howard replaced me on the radio
here in New York City.
In New York City. Then I went to another station, and then he beats me in the ratings.
Mm-hmm.
Then I moved to Los Angeles. He goes to Los Angeles and beats me in the ratings there. This is a hate. I'm hating him. Why wouldn't I like him? And then I would say horrible things about him, and so this goes on for 20 years, right?
20 years?
20 years.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's
I made more money in severance than anybody you know. He would. I would pray he'd come to town. I'd get fired and get a good severance package. So...
Yeah, I could definitely see the fun there. Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And the nice thing about satellite radio is you can say whatever you want.
Yeah,
like
amazing.
There's no censorship.
Cutting edge. So was Jay, I got to ask, is Jay competing with Howard Stern like at that time? Or were they in different kind of...
No, well, yeah, yes and no. So when we first started the show in 2005 on Sirius... just after we started, Jay was constantly complaining that they were underpaying him and they were getting him for peanuts and blah, blah, blah. He was certainly making a lot more money than I was or anybody else on the show. So, you know, we had no sympathy for him. But then they hired Howard Stern shortly after we started, and they hired Howard on Sirius for like $500 million.
Oh, I know. It was ridiculous, right? That must have been a slap in the face to everybody in radio.
Everybody was stunned because everybody was being underpaid. And then suddenly they came up with this 10-year, I think it was was it 5 years or 10?
It's a crazy deal. I remember
that. Anyway, it was a hell of a lot of money.
Yeah.
And after a few months of Howard being there and them ripping out an entire floor for him to have his own studio and his own, you know, you weren't allowed back there without special ID, and he had an armed bodyguard, and it was pretty crazy. But Howard invited Jay on the show one time.
Yeah.
And it turns out that Howard loved Jay. He actually listened to our show, and he admired Jay from when he worked in New York as a disc jockey. And Howard like modeled himself after what Jay was doing on the air. And it was like, I'd never heard Howard be this nice. It was like a love fest. It was amazing. It was great. And then... after a couple of years, Howard decided, well, I don't want to work 5 days a week. I'm going to work 4 days a week, and we're going to put Jay Thomas in as the Jay Thomas Show, filling in that morning slot on the Howard Stern channel.
Oh, cool.
So we got huge exposure from being on the Howard Stern, because he had hundreds of millions of listeners and we had like 10.
Right.
You know, so... it was really a very interesting situation.
I imagine you met a lot of interesting people in that radio station at Sirius, is it?
Oh, like, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Who were some of the most memorable?
Oh, I mean, it was, you name it, and we saw them. One day I was in the green room, in Howard's green room the Howard Stern green room with Jay. He was about to go on. And there's these two people in the green room, and the green room is pretty tiny. It's got like four chairs, and you know, it's nothing fancy, but it's just kind of a holding area. And they're standing there talking, and Jay and I are sitting there talking, and I notice these people, and it's this woman with, you know, like just a terrific body and gorgeous hair and like hugely well made up. I mean, like perfect makeup and quite a big butt. And she's with this black guy, and he looks like, you know, a rapper. And it turns out it's Kanye West and Kim Kardashian. I had no idea who they were. I had no idea. But, you know, we had a performance space in the main lobby, this glass sound booth connected to its own studio. And it was a big, big room, but it was all glass walls. And we called it the fishbowl. And you'd walk in and there'd be like the Allman Brothers playing. Whoa. And then, I mean, you name the band or the artist, the music artist, because Sirius is primarily a music service for most people. But you name it, they were in there performing. It was crazy. You walk in and, you know, like there's James Taylor, there's Robert Plant, there's a bunch of rappers I have no clue about.
I could have named every one of those rappers.
Yeah, you could have. I wouldn't have had a clue. But you name the artist because it's New York City.
And right.
Everybody goes to New York City. I mean, it is like... It's Star Central.
It's kind of like the mecca for radio, that place, wasn't it?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
And it still is today, is it not? Yeah. Really?
Yeah, it was amazing. I mean, and it, you know, when we worked at Q104, you know, we had all these musical acts and, you know, coming in and you name it, and stars and it was just an everyday thing. It was no big deal. You know, it happened all the time.
Wow.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
Man, that's great. So, you and Lori, New York City. I think we're getting near the end here.
Mm-hmm.
After New York City and your time there, you guys, did you go to Colorado then?
Yeah. So we both lost our jobs at about the same time, and it was about the same time the recession happened around 2008, 2009, 2010.
Yeah.
And we decided, we had a house in Brooklyn, and we decided, you know, maybe it's time to leave. And so Lori had followed me out to New York, and I said, you know, okay, it's your turn. You pick, you know, where are we going to go? Because we could have gone anywhere, really.
Sure, yeah.
And she said, well, how about Colorado Springs? Because that's where her parents live.
Nice.
That's where she grew up, and that's where we ended up.
Beautiful. Yeah.
And then we bought a place here. In lovely little Herring Cove.
Yes, sir. Yeah. So that's where we're actually doing the podcast today. This is the first podcast, I think, that we didn't do in a pub or microbrewery. So that's a new one. That's why it's a lot quieter. You don't hear barking dogs or arguing people in the background. So, yeah. No, that's awesome. And I got to say, Lori, pretty amazing catch, right? For you guys to find each other out there. And I mean, really happy for you on that. Yeah.
Yeah, I still can't believe what she sees in me, but, you know, I...
me neither.
I think we can both say the same thing about the women in our lives.
For sure.
What the hell do they see in us?
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, but no, thank you so much, Sean. And gosh, is there anything else you wanted to share or talk about?
No. Let's see. Buy back Nova Scotia Power.
Buy back Nova Scotia Power.
Yeah.
Whoa. Okay.
That's my latest thing. Yeah.
Love it. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll put that at the bottom of this episode. I hope it doesn't get me fired from my real job. We'll just see what happens. But buy back Nova Scotia Power. I have to respect it. The words of Sean.
That's my cause.
All right, man. Well, thank you so much for this. And one more cheers.
Yeah. Thank you. Nice beer.
Nice beer.
Dirty Blonde Light. 4% alcohol from 9 Locks.
From Waverly, Nova Scotia.
Yeah.
Thanks again, Sean.
You're welcome.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of The Afternoon Pint. If you have an idea for the show or would like to be a part of it, email us at afternoonpint@gmail.com.